Today's shiur will be beginning at the end of the Tzadi Tes Omid Beis, Maseches Bofa Basra. Before beginning the shiur, we recommend your printing out the Daf Gemara, and even better, ordering your personal volume of Bofa Basra from the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. We left off last time in the middle of a question. Someone who owned a field, and the public had been cutting through the field, and the owner of the field was unhappy with that situation, so he blocked off the public thoroughfare and gave them a replacement route around his field. Within his property, but around the field, as opposed to cutting through where they were going. The Mishnah ruled that one cannot alter public thoroughfares, and hence what he thought he was taking for himself, taking from the public for himself, that isn't binding. Namely, they can take back their original route. And that which he gave them in the meantime, also he does not get back either. The Gemara wanted to conclude an issue that's discussed in Bava Kama as well, that from this Mishnah, it seems that a person cannot take the law into his own hands, even when he stands to lose. In this case, he stood to lose the path that the public had been using originally. The Gemara says, no, from this sugya we're not going to come to a broad conclusion, namely that lo ovid inish dino lenafshe afilu b'mokom seda. Maybe a person can take the law into his own hands when he is when he stands to lose otherwise. However, over here, the reason he is penalized, so to speak, in having taken the public path for himself and giving them a replacement route is as follows. In other words, the Gemara will give us hesberim why over here, give us explanations why over here there's a local consideration why he has to lose out, so to speak. Before we proceed in the Gemara, we're going to take advantage of one of the features of our pre-marked Gemara edition, and that is the topic headings and structural notes that appear in the margins. Here on the outside margin, you'll notice a heading, Nosei Mivne, namely, topic, the Nosei, and Mivne structural note combined in one notation. You will notice a geometric form that appears like a house. This is one of many different geometric shapes that we use in the marking system. There is no inherent significance to any one geometric shape. They all have the same role, and that is to connect parallel ideas or create a series effect. In this case, we have a series of explanations as to why the Mishnah ruled that the public thoroughfare that he tried to take for himself, he must relinquish to the public's benefit. And in our note, we have recorded Hesberim LaMishnah, explanations for the Mishnah, La'or ma dekaima lo na'ovid inish dino lenafshei b'mokom seda. In light of the idea that one may, in fact, take the law into his own hands when he stands to lose, namely by waiting for a court appearance and all that's involved in judicial process, he will lose. Even so, in our case, he cannot do that. Why is that? So we now proceed in the Gemara. We will notice a double underline also as we go along. The double underline is also a series phenomenon. And in this case, there will be two versions of Rava, and hence, Mishmei de Rava is double underlined in the Gemara twice. Omar Rav Zvid, Mishmei de Rava. The reason that the owner of the field cannot reclaim the public thoroughfare for himself and he must lose what he gave to them Gzeiro Shemo Yitein Lohem Derech Akalsayim. We're fearful that if people, in this case, with a public route cutting through one's field, takes action, that the next guy will give them a crooked route or a roundabout route that will make it difficult for the public, or a longer route for the public, and so as to prevent people from doing things like that. In all cases, we prohibit field owners from taking action. Rav Meshashia Mishmei Derava Omar Benoisein Lohem Derech HaKalson. He differs, and he says it's not a gzera, it's not some type of preventative ruling in anticipation of other cases, but rather the case where we say the owner cannot do it is where he gives them an actual Derech HaKalson roundabout route. Let us take a look at the Rashbam at the bottom of the page. Rav Meshashia Mishmei Derava Omar Echo Denosan Lohem Derech Yashar. If he gave them a proper straight route, then Amrinon Shaloh Higioi, then we say that which he took from the public, he is able to maintain the Linkot Pazvalesiv, and if he wants to stop the previous users from traversing that area, he can take clubs and sit there and prevent them. Delo Gazrinon Shemo Yitein Lohem Derech Akalson. We don't make a gzeiro, namely a preemptive legal ruling to prevent other cases. Avol hocha b'mayaskinon, the case of the Mishnah was talking about she'adavri yodua she'nosalem derech ha'kalson, where he gave them an actual roundabout route, crooked route, l'kach lo higio, v'gam shelo hifsid, and also that which he tried to give them as a replacement, he also loses out. Kidem afarish l'kamon. This will be explained later. Continuing in the Gemara, we're at the top of Kuf Amud Aleph. Rav Ashi, he also appears in a house form. He's the third comment on this topic. Rav Ashi, Omar Kol Min Hatzad Derech Akalson Hi. The Mishnah told us that he gave them a replacement route, Nosan Lahem Min Hatzad. The expression here appears as a phrase, Min Hatzad. Any we'll call alternative route that he gives them is in fact a crooked route by definition. And what do we mean by that? Because the new route may be krova loze urechoika loze. For some people it may in fact be closer to their destinations, but for others it's further. If the old route went down the middle of the field, and now this route is put off to the side, so it's in fact closer in one direction, but it's further for others. The Gemara asks, "Velema lehu shaklu didchu v'havu li didi." Why is it that the owner of the field cannot say to the public, "All right, take back your old route and give me back the new route that I recently provided for you"? We know the Mishnah says he can't do that. The Gemara answers, "Why not? Ha money, Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah is in line with Rabbi Eliezer's teaching. Tesanya." The Tanaic source, and in our marking system, we enclose Tanaic sources in frames. Tanaic sources include Mishnayos and Brises and restatements thereof at times to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara literature. And in this case, Rabbi Eliezer, being a Tana, appears in the Tanaic source. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabim Shabiru Derech La'atzmom. The public that chose a path for themselves, they use a certain area, a certain route, and they traverse it. Masha biru biru. That which they chose is considered their choice. On the surface, it's a seemingly strange halacha that the public has a right to just take a path wherever they want and use it. The Gemara asks, "The Rebbe Eliezer, Rabim Gazlonim Ninhu? Are the Rabbim have a right to be thieves? What is this talking about? What is the case of Rabbim Shebiru Derech Liatzmam? Omar Rav Gidol Omar Rav, Kegoin She'ovdo Lohen Derech Bo'is Asode." It's a situation where the public had a proper path, a legal path, through a particular field. And in the course of time, it became unclear where that path was. The Rashbam says, "Kishavdo lohen derech ba'oisa sodeh." The mikomokom urcha is lehu gabe. It's under all circumstances. This field owner knows that the public had easement rights. V'yofa koyach rabba mikoyach yochid. The strength of the public is greater than the private. Shehayochid sheavda lo yiderach v'sodeh chaver lo yivor me'atzmo ela o bebeizdin o berushusa shabala sodeh. A private person couldn't go to someone's field with the claim that I once had a path here and then claim it for himself. Avol rabim kebeizdin domu. The public has the din has a status of a court. Deman minayu mazmin lahai lebeidina. When you're dealing with the public, who is going to summon whom to the court? V'kol shekein masnisin dehu atzmo nosan lahem. And all the more so in the case of the Mishnah, where the field owner himself gave to them, whereby he was acknowledging that they had something here. Umiyu shelo lo higiyo dekansinon le lefishon nosan lahem derech hakalsan. However, the replacement path that he tried to offer them, he does not get back because he gave them a crooked route. Let us continue in the Gemara. Ihachi, if this is the explanation for Rabbi Eliezer's ruling that they had a root there, then Amai Omar Rabo Bar Ravuna Omar Rav Ein Halacha Ke Rabbi Eliezer, then why not accept his ruling? Notice in the markings we have circled Rav twice. The name quoting Rav, though, is different. In the first case, you had Rav Gittel, and here you've got Rabo Bar Avuna. What our difficulty is right now, if, as Rav Gittel explained Rav, that the case that Rabbi Eliezer was dealing with was a case where the public lost their path. They had known about it once upon a time, but it became unclear. Why then would, as Rabo claims, not Paskin, why would Rav not Paskin like that? The Gemara answers, Man de masni ha, lo masni ha. The version of Rav Gittel in Rav, namely Rav was offering an explanation as to Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabo, Rav never offered that explanation. So as far as Rabo is concerned, Rav didn't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, but he wasn't rejecting some type of explanation that he, Rav, never gave. Continuing in the Gemara, using the Rashbam's Girsa, Ula Rabo Baravuna Masnisin Taimomai. According to Rabo Baravuna, what is his explanation for Rabbi Eliezer's din? The Rashbam, in the lower part of the narrow lines, Hochi Garcino, the Rabo Ravuna, Masnisa Taimomai, Kivan Di Omar, Ein Halocha, since he rejected paskening like Rabbi Eliezer. What was the reason we brought in Rabbi Eliezer anyway? We brought him in to serve as an explanation of our Mishnah. But according to Rabo, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So lo sviro lei, the Rashbam says, l'ukmi stam masnisin k'Rabbi Eliezer. Then he's not going to set up the Mishnah, the unnamed Mishnah, which is considered authoritative. He's not going to set him up like Rabbi Eliezer. If that be the case, so what is Rabo Barav Huna's explanation for the Mishnah? According to Rav Gittel Amarav, we had a decent explanation for the Mishnah, where the public had a root and it got lost, and therefore they have a right to claim it back. The Gemara continues to explain how would Rabo Barav Huna understand the Mishnah. Answer: Mishum de Rav Yehuda Amarav, based on his teaching, the Amar Yehuda Amarav. Meitzar shechziku boi rabim osur lekalkaloi. A border or a path that the rabim became used to, that they've taken hold of, it's osur to change it, to alter it. Let us see the Rashbam on this. Shehichziku boi rabim, shehishvu v'tiknu lehiluch. The rabim leveled it out, made it passable. V'abaylim yodu v'shosku, and the owners of that area were aware that the public was doing this, and they remained silent. Osur lekalkaloi, devadei lerabim mochal. It's clear that the owner of that area forfeited it, overlooked it for the benefit of the public. And all the more so in the case of the Mishnah, where he gave the public that roundabout route. And that's why he cannot take it back. The owner actually gave it to them. Even in a case where he didn't physically give it to them, but merely saw them using it, the rabbah becomes the owner of it. All the more so where he gave them that roundabout route. He cannot take it back. The Gemara asks, V'Rebbe Eliezer, Rabim B'mai Konule. To understand the question, it's very helpful to look at the Rashbam. Ule Rebbe Eliezer, right under the Gemara, says, Alibo de Rabba Baravuna, according to Rabba Ravuna, Diomer Ein Halocha. And he said the halacha is not to follow Rabbi Eliezer. Umuki lo kishelo avdo lohem derech. And Rabba Bar Avuna had set up the Mishnah as a case where they didn't lose a path. Vafilu hachi komer Rabbi Eliezer mashabiru biru. And even in the case where they didn't have, it wasn't a case where they had a path and they lost it, but rather they chose a path. But biru ba'alma below chazoka, just by their mere choosing it, how do they acquire it? Hence, the question of the Gemara right now is, through the eyes of Rabba Bar Avuna, how are we to understand Rabbi Eliezer? So Gemara asks, once again, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim b'mai konula lei, the Rabbim who got the path by choosing it, so to speak. What is the method of acquisition? It can't be through simple talk or something like that. The Gemara answers, behilucha, by walking on it. The act of walking is an act of acquisition. So it wasn't a matter of they're choosing it by voice, by saying, oh, we the public would like to use that particular route, but rather they used it. Desanyo, another Tanaic source that bears this point out, holach ba liorko lerochba kona mokom hilucho divrei Rabbi Eliezer. If a person walks, traverses an area, he acquires the area that he traversed. Of course, that's in the case of of an acquisition. This is a legitimate method of acquisition. V'chachomim omrim ein hiluch moyu klum ad sheyachzik. Mere walking, according to the chomim, is not sufficient unless some kind of physical alteration of the property is done. In this source, therefore, we see a machlokes tanoim. Does the act of walking constitute a chazoka? Can constitute an act of acquisition, a kinyan? Omar Rebbe Elazar, the Rebbe Elazar here is an Amora, and he's asking, my time of the Rebbe Eliezer, what is the reasoning or the source of his shita, of his opinion that walking acquires? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Kum misalech boretz li'orko l'rochbo ki l'cho etnena. V'shboruch hu said to Avram Avinu, traverse the land, because I will be giving it to you. So from this you see that walking, hisalech boretz, that by walking over the land, one acquires. Verabonan, what's their response? Hasam, in the case of Avram Avinu, the pasuk we just cited, the hiluch there was not meant to be a means of acquisition, but rather mishum chavivusa de Avram hu de kamar le hachi. Because of God's love of Avram, he said thusly, he said, walk over the land, kidei shehe noyach lichboish lifnei bonov, so that by Avram Avinu walking over the land, it will be easier for his descendants to conquer it. The Rashbam explains this a little bit more. By his walking over the land prior to his descendants arriving on the scene, his descendants will thereby appear as heirs and not thieves. V'lo yeh rishus lasotan lekatreg, v'lo pischoin peh lebal din, lebal midas hadin. That will prevent the sotan or other negative spiritual forces from contesting the Jewish people's legitimacy to the land of Israel. Omer Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Moidim Chachomim leRabbi Eliezer. The Chachomim, who in the source we saw disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer, will concede to him b'shvil. Shvil is a path. B'shvil shel kromim, a path leading to vineyards. Hoil v'nase lehiluch nikne behiluch. Its sole purpose is for walking, and as a result of that, its method of acquisition is through walking. In effect, the Rashbam tells us that if different areas have a primary use, then one can acquire that area by exercising that form of usage. Ki osu lekamei de Rabbi Yitzchok bar Ami. Someone had made a condition to sell a shvil shel kromim. And the case came to Rabbi Yitzchok. Omar lehu, havu lei ki hechi didori tuno de shavishta vahodar. As far as the width of the path that you must provide for the customer, for the one who bought it from you, it must be wide enough that a person carrying a bundle of stalks could stand in the path and twirl it around. We've been using the illustration book accompanying Bava Basra, the book entitled Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. And for this particular comment, we have an illustration that accompanies it. Illustration number 701. As we continue in the Gemara, V'lo Amoron, the halacha we just read about the width of the path being wide enough to twirl around this bundle of reeds is qualified. Lo Amoron Elo de Mesaimin Mechitzta. The necessity of having a path that wide is provided or is under the circumstances that there are walls that line the path. In other words, there's a path, and either side of the path, there's a wall. So it has to be wide enough for people using the path to be able to maneuver while they're on the path, not to squeeze through between the walls. So we have this provision for a certain amount of width. Avol. Lo misaimon mechitza. However, if the path is not lined by walls on either side, then how wide must it be? Ki hechi deshokil kara ulmonach kara. Enough for a person to be able to step across it, to put your foot on one side of it and the other on your other foot on the other side of it, and that's sufficient to constitute a shvil shel kromim. Derech hayochid. Dalet Amois. The Mishnah said that if one is providing a private path, it has to have a width of 4 amos. Tana, a Tanaic source appears, Achirim Omrim, Kidei Shiavor Chamor B'maso. The width of the Derech HaYochid must be enough for a laden donkey to pass. Omar Avuna, Halocha Keachirim. So we see that Rav Huna rules like the Achirim that the width must be Kadesh Yavor Chamor B'masoi. V'tonu Dayanei Goyla Shnei Gemodim Umechza. The Dayanei Goyla explain that this width measures 2.5 gemodim, 2.5 amas. So it can be said that the width of the Derech HaYochid would be 2.5 amas. The Omar Ravuna, Halacha Kedayone Goyla. We see Ravuna appearing again, and you can see it easily by the fact that we've underlined his name. He says that we should rule like the Dayone Goyla. This raises an obvious question, V'Omar Ravuna Halacha Keachirim, but we saw under his first ruling that he ruled like the Achirim, that said the width of the path is Kedesh Yavor Chamor B'Masol. The Gemara answers, there's no contradiction. Idi V'Idi Chad Shi'urahu. The dimension of Yavor Chamor B'Masol and the dimension of 2.5 amas are one in the same. We continue in the Gemara. We deal with more paths. Derech Harabim Sheish Esrei Amo. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that features the widths of different types of paths. Derech Hayochid Arba Amos. Derech Meir Leir Shmoina Amos. The Rashbam explains this is a road that's used by the inhabitants of two cities. Two cities alone. In other words, people from outside those two cities don't use this route. The source says that it should be 8 amos wide. That is an amount of width that would allow two carts to pass at the same time, one going east, the other going west. Derech Harabim, Sheish Esrei Amo. This is a dimension often associated with Hilchos Shabbos, something called a Rishus HaRabim. Derech Orei Miklot Shloshim Ushtayim Amos. The Torah provides cities of refuge for murderers who ultimately murdered unwillingly, b'shogeg, unwittingly, we'll say, and the paths, the roads that lead to those Orei Miklot must have a width of 32 Amos. Amar Rav Huna, my craw, what's the scriptural reference or basis of coming up with that statistic? Dichtiv, tochin l'cho haderech. The pasuk says that, and it says prepare for yourselves haderech, and the Chazal feel that the added hey in the word haderech serves to double what was ordinarily known as a Rishus HaRabim. Derech, haderech. In our markings, you notice how we've squiggle underlined the hay, because it's based on that this drasha results. Derech HaMelech Ein Lo Shi'ur. The width of the king's path, the road that the king wants to use, is unlimited. Shamelech Poreitz Geder Vasois Loi Derech Ve'ein Memachin Biyodo. Kings have what sometimes might be known as the right of eminent domain, and they can knock down fences for the purpose of making their roads, and the public cannot oppose that. Derech HaKever Ein Lo Shi'ur. The path leading to the graveyard is also wide without restrictions in size. Mishum Yakro v'Shachva, because of Yakro Kovud, Shachva of the Mesim. The Rashbam explains She'ein ze Kovud Hames Lavriches Hamalavim Oisoi Mikan. It's not proper honor to have a situation where you'd have a narrow path where the people accompanying the deceased would have to run away because there's no room for them. We want to make allowance for as many people as come to be able to comfortably accompany the deceased to his grave. Hamaimod Dayone Tzipori Omru Bas Dalet Kavim. The Gemara will explain the role, the purpose of Maimud a little bit later. Before we get to that, there will be some discussion concerning graves, and shortly thereafter we'll deal with the issue of Ma'amodos. Tanu Rabbanan, a Tanaic source appears here. Mahamocher Kivro, a person who sells his plot, his his grave plot. Oftentimes there were families that had entire grave plots designated for them. They purchased them. So here one member of the family sold his plot to an outsider. Derech Kivro, Moko Ma'amodoi, Ubeis Hespedo. He sold the path leading to his grave. He sold the Moko Ma'amodo, the place that the Maimed would take place. He sold the eulogizing facility. Boin b'nei mishpocha, v'koivrin oisoi al korchoi, mishum pagam mishpocha. When this person who sold his grave, etc., eventually dies, the family members can take the deceased and forcibly bury him in the spot that he sold to the purchaser. And the reason for this halacha is because of family honor. Namely, it would be a dishonor for a particular family to have a member of their family deceased and have no place to be buried. In the case that this fellow sold his gravesite, he'd have no other place to be buried. Hence, the family can say to the purchaser, sorry, we're burying the one who sold the plot to you, we're burying him here. As far as issues of compensation are concerned, that is a separate topic. Tanu Rabbanan. The source begins here. You can see in the marking system how the Tanaic sources appear in frames, as we mentioned earlier. On the side, we have a topic heading, the Nosei. It says, Ein pochasin mizayin ma'amodos u'moshavos. We don't have less than seven standings and sittings. That's literally what that means. The reason behind this practice of standings and sittings as in the context of the mace, the burial, the funeral service, we can take a look at the Rashbam, who serves as an introduction to this particular discussion. The Rashbam says, Mishiva ma'amodos u'moshavos, b'chazirosim min hakever, when the mourners, the people, return from the grave, holchin ma'at v'yoshvin, they walk and sit down, they walk a little bit and sit down, l'nachem ha'ovel, o laharbo sar alameis shemes. The purpose of this little bit of walking and then sitting down is for the purpose of comforting the bereaved ones, or possibly to increase the amount of pain over the death. Ulaharbois bebechi, and to increase the crying. Veloseis ish eliboi loshuv b'tshuva. All of this will help to heighten one's awareness of the necessity of choosing the proper path in life, to do tshuva, penitence. Ki chayei ha'odom hevel. This is a point that becomes very clear at funerals. A person's life is fleeting. V'oimdin v'hoichin ma'at v'choizrin v'yoshin ma'at. And as far as the public is concerned, when they're leaving the burial, they walk a little bit, sit down, get up, walk a little more, sit down, get up. Kachoisin shiva pa'amim kidei loseis elibam shechayei odam hevel. To make it clear to the people that human life is fleeting. V'hainu demeforsh lekamei keneged shiva havel havalim shiksuvim b'roish sefer keheles. The Gemara will tell us that the number seven was arrived at the seven references to the word hevel that appear at the beginning of the book of Keheles. The Rashbam offers another explanation, but he eventually rejects that second explanation. So for the curious of you, you can look into that later. Let us continue in the Gemara. The Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Ein pochasin mishiva ma'amodois u'moshavos lemeis. We don't practice less than seven of these sittings and standings upon return from the burial. Keneged havel havalim omar keheles havel havalim hakol havel. This is a pasuk that's found at the beginning of Sefer Koheles, and if you count up the number of references to the term Hevel, you'll see that there are seven. This is taking into consideration that the word Havalim is plural. The minimum plural is two, so if the word Havalim appears, it encompasses two Hevels. For here in this pasuk, as we've seen, as you can see with the numbering, we get up to seven. Omar le Rav Acha Vre de Rav le Rav Ashi. Hechi Avdi. Rav Acha asks Rav Ashi, how should we behave? How should we practice? Omar le Kidesanya, he says, our practice will be based on the following Tanaic source. The Rashbam on this piece says, Heich avdi, heich hoyu regilim lasois bemokim shenoagu. The question here is, what was an accepted practice? So the Braisa reveals, Kidesanya. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda, in the region known as Yehuda, Borishona lohoyu pochasin mishiva ma'amodos u'moshavos lemeis. They did not practice less than seven of these pauses in the return from the burial. Kagoim, and they would say the following. They would say, Imdu Yekorim Amodu, Shvu Yekorim Shvu. The Rashbam says here, Imdu Yekorim, Lachar Sheyoshvu, Ma'at, after they sat a little bit, Hoya Hamamuna Omer Lahen, Imdu Ulechu El Mokim Acher, Kach Nir Be'enai. There was someone who was leading this procession, and he would tell them, now, after we've sat a little while, let's get up and go to another spot. Omru lo, the Rabbonin said to Rabbi Yehuda, if this is what was practiced surrounding the Ma'amodos, then im kein af b'Shabbos mutter lasos kein. It would be permissible to do this, even on Shabbos. There, this doesn't involve any melacha per se. Achte de Romi bar Popo have nesiva le l'Rav Avya. The sister of Romi was married to Rav Avya. Shachiva, the woman, died. Ovad lo maimer u'moshav. Her husband, Rav Avya, saw to it that the maimer u'moshav ceremony took place. As we go on in the Gemara, there's going to be a number of observations concerning what Rav Avya did. We'll only be able to appreciate what Rav Avya did by learning the continuation of the Gemara and seeing number of objections that are raised. The note on the outside margin, we have a Mivneh note, the structural note, because we're going to see in the text the use of two geometric forms, diamonds and double underlines. The double underline will be featuring the word ta, that he erred, he made a mistake. These are deos v'matar of Avya basias maimer u'moshav liishto. He apparently diverged from the accepted practice in ma'amodos, and hence the Gemara feels it important to point that out. Omar of Yosef, ta betarti. Rav Avya made two mistakes. Ta'a she'ein oisin elo b'kroivim v'u ovad afilu b'rechoikim. The accepted practice was to do the Maimur Moshe for those people who are relatives, even though they're relatives, but they're not the relatives that are obligated to practice the mourning procedure. However, it nevertheless is limited to people who are related. Rav Avya, on the other hand, he did the Maimur Moshe for people that were unrelated. V'ta'a shein oisin ela b'yoyim rishon v'ovad b'yoyim sheni. The practice was to do the Maimur Moshe on the day of the burial. That's the Yom Rishon, the day of the burial itself. And he did it a day after. Abaye Omar b'hon amita, another mistake. Shein oisin ela b'beis ha'kvoros v'u'osa ba'ir. That the Maimur Moshe was done in the context of the cemetery, and he did it in town. Rova Omar Bohon Amita, Shein Oisin Ela B'Mokim Shenoagu. V'hasam lo nohug. Another mistake is that the whole practice is done only where it was a custom. He did it where there was not this custom. Meisvei. Gemara cites a section of the source we saw above. You can use the asterisks that appear in the margin or in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos in order to find where this is coming from. Meisvei Omru Lo Im Kain Af B'Shabbos Mutar Lasos Kain. We saw Rabbi Yehuda tell us about the Maimur Moshav. It involved someone leading the procession of people returning from the burial and issuing orders, stand and sit. And the Rabbanan said that would be something that would be allowed to be done on Shabbos as well. Now, taking that into consideration, we're going to develop a question. You'll notice in the little space between the Gemara text and the Rashbam, there's a circled kuf with a dashed vertical line. That's a kushya, a long question. It means that all the lines that are parallel to this vertical dashed line in the Gemara itself are lines dedicated to forming the question. The Gemara continues, V'i amris b'veis hakvoros uviyom rishon. If in the claims above that Rav Avya made a mistake, and they involve the fact that the Maimon HaMoshev is supposed to take place in the cemetery on the day of the burial, so how could it be that the Rabbonan say in the source we just quoted that Maimon HaMoshev would be something you could do on Shabbos? Beis HaKvoros B'Shabbos my boy. What in the world is a cemetery and a burial having to do with Shabbos? Of course, it's well known that burials do not take place on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, Be'ir hasmucha lebeis hakvoros de'amtiyuhu bein hashmoshes. The Rabbonan were saying that the Maimur Moshav could in fact take place on Shabbos, and this does not contradict the point that Maimur Moshav was supposed to take place immediately upon the burial. Very simply, imagine the following. A burial took place late Friday afternoon. Just before Shabbos, they complete the burial. That would be the appropriate time then to practice the Maimur HaMoshav. And that, in fact, could be done on Shabbos. As far as the melacha is concerned, involving the digging and the burial and the hotzah and all, everything else that might be involved, that was done late Friday afternoon. And the Maimon HaMoshev would take place on Shabbos proper. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.